Welcome to the Iron Wales podcast, proudly brought to you by Be Excellence, as part of our unwavering dedication to inclusive media. On this podcast, we shine a spotlight on the remarkable individuals who proudly call Wales their home, from visionary business owners to gifted creatives and all those who inspire us with their stories. We celebrate their contributions to shaping Wales into the diverse and vibrant nation it is today. So whether you're tuning in from the bustling streets of Cardiff, the picturesque landscapes of Snowdonia, or anywhere else on the globe, join us as we explore the rich tapestry of Welsh culture, creativity, and innovation.
So my great-great-grandfather, King Mamoulou Massacoy of the Sierra Leone and Liberian people, was coronated back in about 1905. This was obviously during a time period where the British were involved in trying to revolutionize the current government of the country. Obviously, his views were quite radical, but he started a long lineage of a family spread across this entire planet, and it's just fascinating to be directly descended from him.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you're doing some work with Sierra Leone at the moment, aren't you?
Yes.
You designed their, tell us a little about that, you designed their logo or the
sure.
album?
So they have a like a family history museum or a Massacoy legacy museum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've gone ahead and done to help them out with that is create their logo for the museum itself.
We actually have royalty, African royalty in Cardiff. How amazing. In Wales.
Yeah. Did you always know that or did you find that out?
Oh, we always kind of knew. It was always kind of told to us growing up, well, you are technically royalty. So if you have expensive taste, that's why.
Did it make you feel different?
No, not really. Hmm. It actually kind of makes me feel left out. Like, where's my diamonds? Where's my crown?
That's true. It's weird, isn't it? Because I did my DNA test a few years back, and I've been called everything, you know, from being Asian to African to whatever. But I didn't really know what I was, my DNA, my heritage, until I did my DNA. And I was so surprised to find out I'm nearly 50% African. I thought there'd be 5%, if that. But it was so shocking to me. But it did make a difference to me. It made me feel different and more connected, I think. Things made sense. So, yeah, heritage is important, isn't it?
Mm.
Tell us a little bit more about your background, coming back, because obviously you've got an accent. Tell us that about that journey.
Sure. So, obviously, when I was born over in Wales, in Tredegar, actually, up in the South Welsh Valleys. And I went to Welsh school up until about the age of 10. And then about 11 years old, my mother met my stepfather. We moved over there. Grew up over there till about 2 years ago. Moved back to take care of my mother. She got a bit too sick, and her and my stepfather kind of separated, obviously.
Right.
But we came back and just starting over now, just trying to get back up on my feet and get back up in the music scene.
Mm. You said you went to Welsh school. Did you speak Welsh?
I did, yes.
Do you remember any of it?
I can say the longest name.
Really?
Yeah.
Go on then, do it.
Okay. Slampath plus Gwinga Gogres and Robo Santasilio Gogo Goch.
Wow. I can't even say it. Can you, Jess?
No, I can't.
No. So you lived in the States. How different is it, the jazz scene in the States to here?
It is very different, I will admit. It seems to be a bit spread out here.
Hmm.
When I was in Utah, it was, how do I put it? Like, there was a scene for everything, kind of like there is here. But to me here, all the scenes seem so spread out.
Mine.
Whereas where I was in Salt Lake City, it was all in the city, obviously, together.
Wow.
My main type of genre would be big band swing.
Okay.
Jazz, so like Sinatra,
Bobby
Darin, things like that.
Kind of classic.
Classic,
Sinatra,
yeah. 50s, 60s type, you know.
Yeah. Is that what you do when you do your performances, that kind of
typically,
era?
Yeah. I also do some of the platter stuff, like, you know, we just listened to in What a Wonderful World. I do incorporate a lot of the platters type falsettos into my range as well.
Mm, I liked your falsettos.
Thank you.
It was really nice.
I have
thank
no
you.
Clue what that means, but anyway.
Oh.
His higher voice.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Talking music, different language. But what kinds of events would you be hired for a jazz scene?
Various, honestly. Like, they have different types of venues available for all types of jazz. I would say that, you know, like, you're on the border of Nevada as well when you're in Salt Lake City, and so you have a lot of casinos you can get booked for that are very high paying. I know that a lot of people aim for cruises, because the cruises are high paying as well. Retirement homes are a huge huge really? Payout in Utah. You could rack up an entire living just off of retirement homes.
Wow.
Mm. Wow. It's so different in America, isn't it? Like, I felt like that as well when I went to Canada. I did like an open mic, and it was just, it's just a completely different vibe there. Like, I always feel so much more welcome as a musician in a way, you know, more celebrated.
Yeah.
And also you go to a restaurant, there's a live band and they're really good.
Yeah.
The standard is high.
In some of the cities, absolutely. Utah was one of those cities, or Salt Lake City was, where it was just the standard of what they wanted from the musicians and artists was incredibly up there.
Yeah.
Mm. It was super high.
Really?
But they do pay well for it as well. Does that make sense? Like, you get paid for the talent and work that you put into your projects.
Yeah. Where would be your ideal place to perform? Where would be your, first of all, where would be your dream place?
Dream place would be Madison Square Gardens.
Wow. Well,
obviously.
Dion sang there.
Really?
Yeah, Dion sang in Madison Square Gardens. Yeah. And I'm sure it was in Welsh.
Oh, wow. Yes. That's fascinating.
Yes. He, it was amazing. Yeah. And okay, Madison's, anywhere else?
I think it would actually be cool to sing in Caerphilly Castle as a realistic
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And where would your regular gig be? Where would you like to, would you like to do cruises? That kind of stuff?
Cruises sound nice. I get seasick, that's why I don't know.
Oh, do you?
That.
Oh, no,
I
you do, can't do that.
But, you know, maybe traveling throughout Europe, cabaret bars, jazz bars, things like that, lounges, corporate events, things of that nature. Maybe the odd river cruise or two.
Okay.
A lot of jazz-themed events. Heck, even Blackpool.
Even Blackpool. So even like, what's it called? Butlins, that kind of thing, yeah?
Yeah, that. I would, yeah.
So you're going to go and write some original songs.
Yeah. So I do actually have original artworks and albums already. They're a different genre than jazz, obviously.
Oh, what are they?
So they are pop rock or dream pop.
Dream pop.
Never heard of
that. Ooh, that's what Freya Elsie's doing. The one I'm saying is playing tonight at Hubfest.
Right.
Yeah, she's doing like dream pop.
What is that vibe?
Like, it's dreamy, man.
So I don't know if you know like the band M83.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Reggae, Afrobeats, and R&B. That's me.
So I guess just more like dreamy, like synthy, like Enya evokes.
Oh, there you go. I know Enya.
Ethereal.
Okay. Ethereal. Right. Yeah. Okay. Like consciousness. Kind of stuff you learn. Okay. That sounds good. How do you write a song? Tell us that journey, one of you. Aaron.
Sure.
I'll
you go.
How I write a song is. Basically, I go ahead and start off with the notes in my head, too. Usually, I hear, like, a hook in my head, and I'll start humming it and singing it. I'll maybe find another producer or even get on my phone, a GarageBand type deal, and just start playing out the notes that I'm singing. Then I might take that to another producer and be like, how can we make this awesome?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll work together, collaborate, build a backing track around those notes, and then we'll go ahead and apply the lyrics on top of that, and then obviously the background vocals go on top, then we mix it down, then we master it, and it's all pretty.
How long does it take to do that? Can it take a long time, or can it be just done?
It depends on the creative flow. Like, I've had songs take me 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I've had songs take me years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it just depends on the creative.
Yeah, and I guess the subject as well. Does it depend on how you're feeling? So obviously lots of songs talk and relate about love and relationships and stuff like that. Yeah. So I guess something has to inspire you in your personal journey.
Yeah, it does.
What do you usually write about?
So I like to kind of keep my options open with writing. Usually I try to write about what's my biggest influence at that present moment or at that age.
Mm.
As of like the upcoming album that I have, Atmos, or even the EP Aquila, which is both original dream pop inspired albums and EPs. It's just whatever at the time. Like right now I'm trying to aim for more constellations and more space ethereal type vibes.
Nice.
But I wanted to incorporate it, like with the album Atmos, I wanted to make sure that like almost every single song, if not even every quarter of the album, you're in a different atmosphere. So you're experiencing the different types of atmosphere, maybe a feeling or maybe a room that you've walked into, or, you know, just taking the user on a different journey than where they're at right now.
So you said you've got an EP coming out?
I do.
So an EP, tell me, sorry to sound ridiculously thick, but is an EP a few songs or just one?
It's like four.
Okay, so
it's less than 20 minutes.
An intro to an album.
It's like in between a single and an album.
So an intro to an album. Exactly. So, okay, so what is on that EP? What can we expect?
Sure, so this is going to be a bit more of a darker turn.
Okay.
This is more, I would say, airy vocals. It's probably the most mature sound and most mature subject matter that I've actually written about.
Okay.
This is going to lead the user into the realm of discovering the vibe for the album, if that makes sense. So it's a continuation, it's a precursor, sorry, not a continuation.
Precursor, yeah.
Whereas the album is a continuation of that, but in a more uplifted mood. So the EP itself is more the dark roots of exploring as to why I needed to make the album.
Where do you record to?
All over.
How do you find your producers? I was just thinking that.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm picky. I will actually.
Well, you got to be.
Yeah,
so am I.
It's your art, isn't it?
I have a tendency to go and interview them.
Okay.
I'd be like, can I hear your material? What do you have in your work?
How
other songs you've produced turned out? I'll ask for maybe a quote or something of the sort. Show me what they can do. Tell me what they can do. I'll play them my scratch tracks as well, like the stuff I record on like my GarageBand or Audacity on my computer.
Right.
And I'll just go ahead and collaborate with them and record with them.
Mm.
If I don't like it, I just won't release it. Like, and I'll take it somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, I just keep going and going and going until I find that diamond in the rough. And
is it a case of when you find a producer, you stick to that one? You change all the time?
I change based off of the genre and the song style I want. If I am looking for a specific set of vocals, then I will look for a producer that has produced those vocals for somebody else or in a manner that way, and I will go hunt him down. I'll be like, I need you.
Producer is so important. And I think producers are getting more and more credit these days because they have such an integral part of, because there's that gap between you've got your song, it's ready, and then there's a million ways you can record it, you know? So it's that bit of work that's very important and why you have to have the right producer.
Exactly, and I think that's why I bounce around a lot as well. It's just because you said there's a million different ways to record it.
Yeah.
And when you're hearing a certain way in your own head, you got to go and find someone who can try and recreate what's in your head.
Mm.
Exactly.
As much as possible.
Or you might go crazy.
Yeah. It's like, it's not working.
Aaron, tell us a little bit about your aspirations, what your career looks like in the next year or two.
The next year or two?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe be a bit more skinnier, but like, let's start there. But like, no. So what I intend on doing is basically getting back to the level of making a living, doing what I love to do, which is just performing throughout venues and sharing my gift with people.
Mm.
Other than that, is basically releasing the, original EP, which is separate from the jazz album as well.
Right.
And then announcing the full album, pop album.
The pop album.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We've got one of your songs again. Mm-hmm. This is an original track of yours called Breathe In. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration for that and why you put it together and when you put it together.
Sure. So I actually put that together in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I was actually going through a divorce at the time.
Wow, okay.
Me and my husband decided to get divorced after about 4 years together.
Wow.
You
lasted two more years longer than I did left, so you beat me there.
But I obviously I was going for a revenge vacation in Vegas.
Okay.
You're like, and I don't need no man vacation. And so I just
so funny.
So 10 minutes before I actually left, I had this inspiration for a track.
Okay.
And so on the way down to Vegas, because it's about 5-6 hours from Salt Lake City to drive to Vegas, I pulled in somewhere and I started recording it on the laptop I brought with me quickly. And I quickly mixed it down into this really rough demo. Yeah. And then I exported it to a WAV file and played it on the way down. The song itself is written about letting go, obviously, of a relationship or a marriage. I found it a bit of a bold statement for me, this song, because of the fact that it was a song that was basically announcing to everyone that I am part of the LGBT community.
Right.
And I am going to incorporate that into my music. That was a pretty big move for me. I wasn't going to keep it vague anymore. So there is a lyric in there where I do basically make it clear that this is a guy singing to a guy.
Yeah, okay.
But other than that, I went into a recording studio literally a week and a half, 2 weeks later, when I came back from Vegas and recovered. But I recorded in Rigby Road Studios in Salt Lake City, Utah, with a fantastic engineer and producer called Joel Pack. And actually, I'm having him help me a little bit with a few songs on the upcoming EP. Because his work was just so smooth and so clean cut. It was like radio ready, like in an instant. And that's why I wanted to go back to him. But that's when I produced that song, and that's who I produced it with. And it's just one of the songs I keep in my repertoire. Like, now I listen back to it as a 28-year-old. I listen back to it like, could you know that? Like, I might want to remix it for the album. And that's kind of what I'm also wanting to showcase. It's just like, this is where I got my start here. This is my original artwork right here. And for the next project, I do plan on putting it back on the album. But it will be a remixed version and way more modern.
Something I just want to pick on there, what you said. You said, pick up on, that a man singing to a man. I never thought of that before. I never thought of, like, is there a kind of genre, or is there, like, songs that are obviously singing to another same-sex person? Like, is, you know?
There isn't many.
Yeah.
I know Dixon Dallas just recently did one called Good Looking.
Okay.
So there's just not many that will actively say or sing, you know, as a guy and actively say, yeah, this is, I am in love with a man and I am going to sing to this man. I just, there's not much.
That could be a niche. That could be a really massive niche.
Yep. It really could be.
Yeah, it really could, I think. Because it's not conspicuous anymore. It's just blatant out there.
Yeah.
Speaking to a man, or woman to a woman. I think that's a real niche market that could be explored, Aaron.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Follow us for more up-and-coming episodes as we continue to showcase the essence of I Am Wales. You can support more of our inclusive media work by going to www.beexcellence.co.uk. There you will find a link to Excellence Magazine and also our weekly radio show on Radio Cardiff, every Friday morning from 9 till 11 a.m. on 98.7 FM. Thanks again for listening.